Today, we like to see the title of unconditional joy in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. So far, online Bible study students of the world registered about 20,000 people. So basically, today, we are studying the Bible. They are listening to our Bible study. Also, they are seeing manuscript through Calvary Chapel NIMHills.com website. Okay, for online course students, we suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 2, O Lord, I ever heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. What did Habakkuk, the prophet, hear God's speech? The first question in verse 2, what did Habakkuk, the prophet, hear God's speech? Number 2, in verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the folds, and there be no herd in the stalls, what is the precondition of Habakkuk's joy? What is the precondition of Habakkuk's joy? Last question in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? First of all, we want to see a little background. Jeremiah also prophesied to Judah, the southern nation. But Jeremiah prophesied or delivered the God's word longer than Habakkuk's prophecy. So Habakkuk's prophecy, historically, we thought 606 through 586 before Christ, just Judah's fall by Babylon. After Israel, Northern Kingdom, was already fallen down by Assyria in 612 before Christ. But last the three kings, basically in Judah, three kings reigned the period, the 15th king, Josiah, 60 kings, Jehoahaz, or Shalom. Then 17th king, Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, before Judah's fall in 586 before Christ by Babylon. So historical background, we want to see the 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse 29 through 37. In his day, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went to the aid of the king of Assyria, to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him. And Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo when he confronted him. Then his servants moved his body in a chariot from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, or Shalom, the son of Josiah, anointed him and made him king in his father's place. The first king, Josiah, was a good king who obeyed God's word, but he was killed by Pharaoh, Egyptian king. Now, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, only 3 months. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, and he did evil inside of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. So Jehoaz was an evil king who didn't obey, you know, God's word. Basically, he worshipped idols other than Jehovah God. Now Pharaoh Necho put him in prison at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king, in place of his father Josiah, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Pharaoh took Jehoiada and went to Egypt, and he died there. Basically, Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, dethroned Jehoiada as the son of Josiah, but replaced another son. Son's name is Eliakim. Then it changed Eliakim's name, Jehoiakim. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, Egyptian king, but he taxed the land to give money according to the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land, from everyone according to his assessment, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah, and he did evil in sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Basically, two evil kings, you know, showed up, you know, that time, you know, Habakkuk, and I talked about chapter 1. First, a question about, you know, God's righteousness to Judah's idolatry. Because Habakkuk saw, you know, the Jewish people in southern Judah worshiped, you know, idols. That's why, you know, he asked, you know, for example, chapter 1, verse 4, Habakkuk said, "Therefore, the law is powerless." The law meaning God's word is powerless, and justice never goes forth. God's righteousness never goes forth because they committed spiritual adultery. For the wicked surround the righteous. The wicked people surround the righteous people. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. So that's why, you know, he prayed to the Lord, how come you allowed, you know, Jewish people keeping on, you know, their unrighteousness and continually. Then, you know, God's answer as basically verse 5 to 11 in chapter 1, especially verse 6, that, "For indeed I am raising up the Chaldean." Chaldean means Babylon. "I am raising up the Babylon, or a Chaldean, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places, or to possess houses that are not theirs." Basically, God said, you know, "I will bring Babylon as an instrument of judgment against, you know, Judah." Then Habakkuk raised the question, how did God judge Judah with the pagan country Babylon? Babylonian never believed in Jehovah God, you know, at all. But God used Babylon in order to discipline the Judah, the God's people. That's why Habakkuk raised the question. For example, verse 13, "You are purer eyes than to behold evil." Basically, God, you are pure, not evil, and cannot look on wickedness. So God, you don't see the wickedness in Babylon or in Chaldeans. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Basically, the Judah nation is a lesser evil compared to, you know, Babylon. Babylon is a more, you know, the worst country who never worshiped God, but the Jewish people once worshiped God, but right now, majority of Jewish people worship the idols, but still pure, righteous, you know, godly people, you know, were there. So the question is why, you know, God, you know, judged your lesser evil country in Judah with you know, Babylon, the worst country. That's the question. That is God's answer, chapter 2. That's God's chapter's answer. Basically, God would judge Babylon ultimately. For example, verse 12. Woe or alas to him. To him meaning to Babylon, who built a town with bloodshed, who established a city by iniquity. So basically, Babylon invaded in Judah by iniquity, but God will destroy Babylon ultimately. That's the chapter 2 answer. Then today we are seeing chapter 3. Basically, Habakkuk the prophet giver praise or give a thanks, you know, to the Lord. Here, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionos. Shigionos, the Hebrew word, means hilarious poetry. So God's answer really gave a joyful, joyful lesson to Habakkuk. That's why, you know, he said on Shigionos. Chapter 3, you know, basically Habakkuk, this prayer in the tone of poetry with the harp instrument, because last verse we can see this is actually song here with my stringed instruments. So Habakkuk is a singing song with his the instrument, musical, you know, instrument, you know, stringed instrument, like a harp, you know, or a guitar or something like that, you know. So just think, you know, that basically he got, you know, so happy, so glad in, you know, God's answer, because God said ultimately I will destroy Babylon after using as an instrument of judgment against Judah. You know, that's, you know, basically, that's why, you know, he said Shigionoth. Shigionoth means hilarious or exciting, you know, poetry, you know, that kind of meaning. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. The first question, I have heard your speech, meaning I have heard your answer. Answer meaning chapter 2. Chapter 2, you know, basically your question about, you know, how come you used it. Babylon, the worst people, in order to make a judgment against the Jewish people of Judah. That answer in chapter 2. Chapter 3 is God, you know, will judge, you know, Babylon ultimately, you know, to destroy that. That's why I have heard your speech or your answer, which means chapter 2, and was afraid. This is awesome, you know, holy fear. Because God will destroy, God will destroy Babylon completely. So that's why, you know, Babylon country historically was destroyed by Persia. Persia conquered, you know, the Babylon. Was afraid. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Revive means keep alive your work or keep on divine work. So which meaning, although I do not understand your work, but revive your work, which meaning keep on your work, keep on your plan in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, in the during years, making known in rest, remember mercy. In rest meaning in your judgment, against your people, the Judah. Remember mercy. So basically, the Habakkuk asked God for mercy, merciful judgment. So when you make a judgment against Judah, your people, please remember mercy, so like that, So then verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. So God came from, everywhere. So which meaning God is omnipresent. Selah, in this book, 3 times mentioned in the book of Habakkuk, but 71 times in Psalms, in book of Psalms. Psalms in total 150 Psalms, that is total 71 times. But Selah, what does it mean? But it is not sure, but it could be exclamation of emphasis, because this is a poetry, this song, like amen, some kind of exclamation of emphasis. Selah. So you are omnipresent. You are everywhere. His glory, God's glory, covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. So all earth by itself is praising God, because God created all the earth, that kind of thing. His righteousness was like the light. He had a rays of flashing from his hand. Here, rays of flashing from his hand. Very awesome flashing. King James Version just says in a little different words, he had horns coming out of his hand. Horn. Horn, always is a symbol of a power. So basically, first of all, indicating God's almighty, omnipotent God. So basically, omnipotent God. And there, his power was hidden. So his power is all over, around, was hidden. Before him, before God, went the pestilence. Pestilence is a sickness, illness. That's a symbol of judgment, God's judgment. So before God's restoration, God gave a judgment. So pestilence, a symbol of judgment, then God's recovery of the people. Then after then, the Jewish people would be returned to Israel from 70 years Babylon captivity. So that happened. So often prophecy can apply to present age, like 1948 Israel nation was established, present age, or even today, the prophecy can apply today. Today is a lot of happening. The many children, innocent children were shot, were killed, a lot of ugly thing, evil thing happened in the United States, so over the world, but God's judgment is coming soon. We can apply in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation basically talk about great tribulation, and so will come here. Then is at the end of great tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish millennium kingdom on the earth, some kinds of like that. This is a pestilence, means a symbol of judgment. Before him went a pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. And God's judgment was coming to Judah. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, or threatened the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. Even everlasting mountains were scattered. We know that in chapter 20, over book of Revelation, 21, 22, basically, book of Revelation said, this earth and heaven will pass away. So new earth, new heaven will come. So these mountains were scattered. The perpetual hill bowed, perpetual hill, eternal hill, bowed to whom? Bowed to the Lord. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan, Cushan meaning Ethiopia country, in affliction. Cushan also is going to be in affliction, is suffering. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. So God's judgments through Babylon was coming soon. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea? That you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation. So basically, it talks about rivers, seas. Looks like in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, fresh water catastrophe. Catastrophe and judgment, we saw in the last time in trumpet and judgment like that, the judgment is coming. So verse 9, your bow was made quite ready, also the word swan of your arrows, Salah. Also is in the Jewish people authors. Also the word swan of your arrows. King James Version said, according to the authors of the tribes, of the Jewish people tribes, even new word. So basically, Jewish people made the oath over God's words, but they did not keep God's word. That's a problem. That's why inviting God's judgments. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice like a tsunami. Worries uttered its voice. And lifted its hands on high. So tsunami, the very high, water wave. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. So here, habitation, catastrophe, like in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. And the light of your arrows, they went. At the shining of your glittering spear, you marched through the land in indignation. Indignation means in the Old Testament, often in great tribulation. So because of the people's iniquity, people's rebellion against God. You trampled the nations in anger. So Babylon actually conquered many countries, not only Judah, conquered the Assyria, many countries. So like nations, plural, right here, plural. Verse 13, you went forth for the salvation of your people. Here, God is taking care of God's people for salvation. The salvation of your people, ultimately, God's salvation of your people. So then, they let Jewish people return to his home after 70 years captivity by Babylon. So that is allowed, ultimately God's salvation of God's people. So we can apply this verse today us, because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, are God's people. God will save those people before the great tribulation, his church will be raptured according to God's word. We can apply in that way too. For salvation with your anointed. Here, for salvation with your anointed, which means the people anointed by God. So whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is anointed by God as God's child. You struck the head from the house of the wicked. Here, you struck the head of the house of the wicked. So the Judah, you know, the evil kings, you know, their nation, so God will, you know, strike the head. By laying bare from foundation to neck, Salah. You thrust through with his own arrows. So God, you know, so the destroy through with his own arrows. The head of his villages, so villages also will be destroyed. They through Babylon. They came out like a whirlwind, like a typhoon, you know, to scatter me, or a tornado. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor and secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. So, you know, God's judgment is devastated. When I heard, my body trembled, because when I heard, you know, Habakkuk heard, my body trembled, because God's judgment would be so severe. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bone, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Rest in the day of trouble. Here, no visible things means to escape situations, circumstances, doesn't matter. Here, because I might rest in the days of trouble, because circumstances is a trouble, but Habakkuk said, I rest, I have a peace. So John, in chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because God's peace is not dependent upon circumstances, a feasible situation, even terrible situation. Here Habakkuk has a peace, has a shalom. In the day of trouble, when the Lord makes judgment against Judah with Babylon, but Habakkuk may have God's peace. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though, right now, verse 17. Josephus history book said Jerusalem city, when Jerusalem city was surrounded by Babylon, the Jewish people were hungered, so they eat their children's meat. So basically cannibalism. So one example, the 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 through 29. Syria besieged Samaria in famine because the invading country, nation, surrounded the wall of the city. So the citizen who lives in the city wall lost the supply route receiving food outside of the city. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. This is one example of a northern kingdom, you know, Israel. And there was a great famine in Samaria, obviously, because invading country surrounded the wall of the city. So there was a great famine, hunger. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cap of a dove dropping for 5 shekels of silver. Basically, donkey head, you know, was sold for food. Also, donkey's dung also was sold. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, meaning on the wall of a city of Samaria, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find a helper for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him,' but she has hidden her son." So basically here, you know, we see, you know, cannibalism. So cannibalism, you know, occurred in there. So now verse 17, through, although the fig tree may not blossom, no fruit be on the vine. Basically, no fig fruit or no grape, although the labor of the olive may fail, no olive fruit either, and the fields yield no food, no food at all, vegetable, famine is there. Although the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, so no beef, no chicken, no sheep meat either. So here, no visible, you know, fruit at all. So here the question is, no visible circumstances here. But this is a precondition. Is not, you know, condition to Habakkuk's joy. Verse 18 said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. However, I will rejoice. There is no food, no fruit, no meat, but I will rejoice." Why? "In the Lord, I will joy in the Lord over my salvation, in God over my salvation." Here, rejoice meaning jump up and down. The literal meaning of a Hebrew word, you know, jump up and down, not just, you know, the exciting, you know, rejoicement in the Lord. So there are no food, no meat, but I have exciting joyfulness in the Lord. Joy in God of my salvation, or spin around in God of my salvation. Hilarious joy, hilarious joy, despite no visible means of supply. So, continue explain verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength." Why? Because the Lord God is my strength. Because the Lord God is my salvation. God saved me from, you know, trouble situation into heaven. He will make my feet like a deer's feet. So God gives strength to overcome the terrible situation. And He will make me walk on my high hill. So God gives strength to overcome this difficulty. So overcoming any difficulties. So basically this one talks about faith. Because of faith is a definition, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for is the future, not present. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. So, really visible happening doesn't matter to faith. Because faith definition, the substance of things hoped for, future tense, not present tense, also the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. That's why the visible things, visible happening, really doesn't matter to faith. Next is what faith? Faith in money? Or faith in self? Or faith in my son? Faith in the Lord. This is a key word, in the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord is omnipotent. Lord is omnipresent. Lord is taking care of his children. So this is the bottom line. Habakkuk talks about faith in the Lord. Because he has a faith in the Lord, that's why he has a hilarious joyfulness. Even if there are serious famine occurred, you know, terrible situation. That's what talk about. Let's see, you know, each question answer. Question one, in verse 2, O Lord, I ever heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. What did Habakkuk the prophet hear? God's speech. That's a talk about chapter 2. God answer, ultimately, I will destroy the worst nation, Babylon. Question 2, in verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, what is the precondition of Habakkuk's joy? That is unconditional, no precondition at all. So joy coming from faith in the Lord. Question 3, in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in God of my salvation. What does this verse mean? This meaning Habakkuk's faith in the Lord, because the Lord himself, salvation, Lord himself is strength. That's why. Let's sing song all together with Amazing Grace. We will conclude today's Bible study. After the Bible study, we'll receive questions.